Hello, Merry Christmas. Thank you for tuning in to our messages at Conway Baptist Church from Pastor Thomas Myers. Christmas is here. It's a time of giving gifts, family, and fun. But it's easy to forget the true reason for the season. We get to celebrate the coming of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. Join us as Pastor Thomas celebrates the coming of the Messiah as he preaches through the Advent calendar. Our prayer is that this message impacts your life. If it does, let us know by going to conwaybaptistchurch.com, click the Connect tab, and email us to let us know how God used this message to influence you.
It's Christmas time. We got a lot to look forward to, and we got some gifts to open. Christmas is right around the corner. Are you guys excited? My kids over here? Yeah. I mean, now here's the crazy thing. Is the greatest gift you'll ever receive on Christmas, and the reason for the season, is that God gave his one and only son, Christ, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for our sins. Today we lit the Christ candle, and today we're going to finish our series in the evening tonight. We're going to finish our series through the Advent calendar as we land on the Christ candle. And so I want to answer a question tonight, just briefly. We're not going over a long message. I mean, we got food coming, okay? So you don't want to miss those refreshments. I'll get you out of here and into there really quick, okay? Don't worry. But we're here for Jesus. Remember this. He's the bread of life. He's the living water. If we drink from him, we never thirst again. He fills our spiritual thirst. He fills our hunger for righteousness by giving us righteousness that we could never get on our own. This is the God that we worship. And so today I want to answer the question, as we reflect back on the Advent candles, I want to answer the question, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? And as we go through the Advent candles, let's look at them one by one. Well, we know first and foremost that Christ came to give us hope. Not just any hope, not just hope that gets me through the day, but hope specifically for our salvation. To know that we, when we die, will be in heaven with God. And did you know that you can know, based on the testimony of the Word of God, that you are saved? That if you were to die today, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt, you'll be in heaven with God. Did you know that you can know that? How do you know that? Well, we know that by believing on the name of the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ came in the flesh. God came in the flesh to show us that we have hope. Hope not just to get to the next day, but hope for eternity. An eternal hope. We talked about a few weeks ago how where we are headed to helps us get through what we are going through. And on a micro scale, day to day, we tend to see this a lot, don't we? Maybe we have a midterm or a final that we're studying for, if you're in school, of course. Maybe it's a test if you're in high school. Maybe it's a big project at your work that you're working on, and it's stressing you out. But on the other end, you got this thing coming. Maybe it's a date night with your husband or wife, or maybe you have a trip planned. It's a cool vacation. Maybe it's to Disney World. That's the happiest place on earth, right? Okay, so maybe you got something on the other side of it, and it helps you get through when you look to it, what you're going through. And this is that principle that I just said. Where you are headed to helps you get through what you are going through is true, and we all experience it all the time here on this earth on a small scale. But this is ultimately true for those who are believers. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the God in the flesh, who came 2,000 years ago to give you hope as a human being here on this earth, you have something to look forward to that will help you get through this life on earth. And so we go through trials and tribulations while we're here. And sometimes God gives us pretty hard projects, doesn't he? He says, you know what, that family member you don't want to eat with at Thanksgiving or Christmas, they're coming back again. But don't worry, I'm with you, okay?
Yep.
Or maybe it's worse than that. Maybe it's a loved one who suffered. Maybe it's someone who's died recently, or maybe has an illness of some sort that you're battling with them through. And it's very easy, if you don't have hope, to go into despair. But if you have hope, you can hold on. Because you know, if that person's a believer, if you're a believer, if you're trusting in Jesus, that where we're headed to is ultimately better than what we're going through, and so we can get through it. And so we come back to that principle of hope that Jesus Christ gives us. Where we are headed to helps us get through what we are getting through. And that happens. We have that because Christ came. If Christ didn't come, we would be, according to Ephesians, without hope and without God in the world. But because Jesus became flesh, because God became flesh, we have hope. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? He came to give us hope for salvation. Why did he come? He came to give you peace. And that's the second candle, remember? And not just peace in your heart that feels good. That's nice, isn't it? But specifically, peace with the God of the universe. This isn't just a feeling, but it's a position. It's not just a disposition, but an actual positional truth. Whether you feel like it's true or not, if you trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the blood shed for you on the cross 2,000 years ago, you have peace with God. It's powerful. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace in this verse is not a feeling of peace. It's an objective, true reality about everyone who believes in Jesus. And so he offers you to come to him, to pay your price, to have peace with God. Now, here's the cool thing about an objective peace, a peace that is independent of your feelings. When you put your trust in this God who gives you this peace, the feelings eventually come. Your feelings will follow the facts. You know, in the 13th Amendment of the United States, there's a legal declaration declaring slaves free in America, okay? Now, I'm sure there were some slaves in the South that didn't feel very free. But legally, because of what happened there, they walked free. This is what God does for you. He makes a legal declaration. Whether you feel like it or not, you can be free where you are. And now the rest of your life, when you believe in this, okay, God, I believe that you have set me free based on the blood covenant of your son. The rest of your life is God teaching you what it means to live free in him. And so you can set a slave free and you can take a slave out of slavery, but the rest of your life is learning to take the slavery out of the freedman now. That's what sanctification is. It's God working in your heart as a Christian, and he's taking the slavery out of your heart. You are legally free before him, and the rest of your life, you're learning what that freedom looks like. You start to see the world in a whole new way. You walk outside, and because God has legally declared you righteous and free, you can walk, and the more you walk in that freedom, the more you see how good your God is. So he gives you hope, and then he gives you peace, a real peace. The next candle that we saw was Christ comes to give us joy. I think this is something that we all want, isn't it? We all want joy in our lives. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul commands the church at Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. This is imperative. You must rejoice. Rejoice. It's a command. Now, God's not going to command a believer to do something they're incapable of doing. And maybe you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, but you're having a hard time finding joy. If you believe that Jesus Christ has paid for your sins, Jesus is still living in your heart, which means the joy of the Lord is in you. That you are capable of being joy in the most dire of circumstances. That because you have this hope and because you have this peace that's objective, it's something God has declared forever for you, you actually can be joyful when you meditate on these things. And when you also take advantage of the fact that Christ comes with the Holy Spirit inside of you, that Christ in you shows you that you can be joyful no matter how hard it gets. For the genuine Christian, he has sacrificed something. You see, the world will offer you outward peace, but it can never offer you inward peace. It will say you can live in a nice house with great cars and great things, but it can never offer your heart peace. God says this in Christ, that if you sacrifice those things for me and you're willing to follow me, you might not have outward peace when it comes to the friends and the hardships that you go through, but you will have inward peace. You will have joy in your heart that no one can steal, which is far better, by the way. I would rather be in a continent where people are killing Christians if it's where God wants me to be. There is nothing more miserable than going to where God doesn't want you to go. If God doesn't want you somewhere, you might think that you have peace because outwardly you're fine, but inwardly you will not be able to deny there's something wrong with your life. But if you listen to the command of God and the will of God and you go where he calls you to go, there's no safer place that you will ever be than in the center of God's will. And so there, whether you're going through hardship or times of great joy and things of this nature, you will always, in those situations, be able to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because you've sacrificed outward peace so that you would have genuine peace in your heart. And so maybe we'll have turmoil. Maybe we won't. God is good. He'll send us to where he wants us to go. But the point is, he's Lord and we're servant. And when we live like this, our hearts have unquenchable peace. And so we can be joyful always. Even like Paul, when he wrote that in a jailhouse. He was in prison when he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And if there's anyone who had a right to not be joyful, it was him. And yet here he was rejoicing, being right where God wanted him to be. So why did Christ come? He came to give you hope. He came to give you peace. And he came to give you joy. And finally, we see, and we talked about today, earlier on in the service this morning, we talked about how Christ came to give you love. John 3:16, we know it well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And so this is the love that God has for you. And you know what? It solicits a response from you. The Bible is clear. In 1 John, it says that we love God because God first loved us. And so when we really grasp the love of God and we see the price he paid by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf, we cannot help but love back, love him, and love others. How do you obey the two greatest commandments, which is to love God and to love others? The first thing you must do is get your eyes on God's love for you. You will never be able to love God properly without first looking at his love for you. We love because he first loved us. What are you going through this evening? Hardships, trouble, what's going on in your heart? Be honest with yourself. What's going on deep down? Do you think in your life you could stand to look at the love of God a little bit more? Because if you did, according to the scriptures, if we look to the love of God more, it would fill us up with love. We love because he first loved us. And this love would well up into more than just motivation to love, but also the very ability to love as well. Romans 5:5 says that God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not talking about how God teaches you to love better, but it's really the love of God in you through the Spirit of God. God's love is given to you so that when you have his love in your heart, if you accept Christ into your life, you can actually properly, like God wants, love God and love others. So have you looked to the love of God in your life before? Have you looked to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news which brought great joy? What is this? It's the fact that Jesus came to die for your sins. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The demonstration of God's love for you and the demonstration of God's love for me is the fact that the God of the universe became a man. He lived perfectly and died as the perfect sacrifice for you and for me so that we could have a relationship with God. He demonstrates it. He doesn't just say he loves you. He shows it. And when you really wrap your mind around the fact that someone died for you, and not just someone, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the person who is above all, came down and died for you, it really does something, doesn't it? God is love. And when we look to his love, it changes our hearts. We don't just look to him as love, but we look to what he did that was loving. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a death, burial, and resurrection, showing that we could never do anything to get to God, that he had to do all the work to get to us. And so we look to his love, and when we find out that Jesus paid it all, it becomes easy for us to say, okay, God, I see this now. I give my life to you and your work. And I stop my work. I stop trying to get to heaven on my strength. And I start to just trust in you, Jesus Christ. When you do that, you'll be born again. So why are you alive? You're alive to love God and to serve him. And he's made this possible for you through the sacrifice of his son. This Christmas, I want to end this series where we started it. I want you to think about this. The God of the universe, who for eternity past didn't put on human flesh, came down and put on flesh for you. He died for your sins, and then he rose from the dead bodily in human flesh and ascended into heaven as a human, to never put off humanity for all of eternity future. That's how much God loves you. Is that he put on who he was not for eternity for you, to save you. Why do we celebrate the advent of Jesus Christ? Because he came to give us what we could never get. And he finished the work. We have so much reason to rejoice in the Lord. So stop drifting. Maybe you don't know where you're headed to. And you find yourself drifting in this world. You're bouncing from one day to the other. And you're not sure where you're going. You're living purposeless. That's a miserable life. I can't imagine getting on a cruise and then them telling me, yeah, we're not really going anywhere. We're just going to bounce around the seven seas for all of eternity. That's pretty miserable, isn't it? Part of what makes an adventure special is the destination, is how you get there and things of this nature, but you need somewhere you're headed to. And how you get there, God's going to help you, but where you're headed to is always going to help you get through what you're going through. Could you imagine if the people who came on the Mayflower hundreds of years ago, or any of those ships coming to America, didn't know that they're heading to America? They're just like, yeah, we're just drifting. That's miserable. Some of them dying in the process. And yet, they had a destination, and that helped them get through what they're going through. And likewise, you, if you're a believer, have a destination. But if you're not, you're just drifting. And I want to challenge you not to drift, but to set your eyes on the hope of glory that we find in Jesus Christ. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to challenge you to hand over your life to Jesus today, to believe that he died for your sins and get your eyes fixed on eternity. To start storing up for yourselves treasure in heaven rather than treasures here on this earth. To look to God and to trust him to provide rather than seeking peace while you're here. To do his will, to be his servant while he's the Lord of your life while you're here. Will you hand your life over to Jesus? If you will, you could know as you walk out of these doors, that you can know for sure beyond the shadow of a doubt, you'll be in heaven with God. Why? Because you are trusting that the God of the universe paid for all of it on the cross. That's right. You're saying, okay, I believe this, and I want to follow this. This is the way that I want to follow. Do you want to do that? If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to lead you in a prayer. I want to ask you to say a prayer of surrender, a prayer that says, Jesus, come into my life. I believe in this gospel. I want to be your disciple. I know that I can't do anything to get to heaven. And so, God, I trust that you did everything to get to me. And from this point forward, I want to follow you in right relationship. I want peace with you. I want that hope. I want to know where I'm going when I die. I want to know where I'm going while I'm here. I want to follow you, Jesus. Is that you? Well, if you let God know that you surrendered to him, you can know by trusting in him that you're saved. Do you want to know that right now? Well, let him know in a simple prayer of surrender. Stop your work and let God do a work on your heart. With every head bowed and every eye closed, say this with me if that's you. Say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know you died for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And be my friend. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose for me. And I ask you, raise me to life today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did this message draw you closer to God, or did you pray to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today? We want to hear about it. Let us know by going to conwaybaptistchurch.com, click the Connect tab, and send us an email telling us about what God did in your life through this message. Thank you for joining us for this message from Conway Baptist Church, North Carolina.